Well, good morning. How are you? Are you well? I'm coming nearer to you. Well, so we enter this festive season with this new series. It's called Be the Gift. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's called Be the Gift. Thank you, both of you. Turn to the person next to you and say, Be the Gift. Thank you for three more of you. We're going to be looking at this for the next few weeks leading up to Christmas itself. And I want to start by reading just a few verses from the Bible, Philippians, in the New Testament. There was a church in a place called Philippi. And this guy, the Apostle Paul, guy who would be getting on now, I don't know how old he would be right now if he was still alive, but he would be getting on a bit. And he wrote to this church in Philippi, and he said these words, which I'm going to read to you. And you know what? I think that he could have been saying these words and reading these words to the church in Wigan. The church in this region. Well, you could have got excited about that, that God wants to speak to you this morning. And so, as I read to you from this book, Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 14, maybe we should respond in a way that this is to us. Philippians 2:14 says this. Do everything without complaining and arguing. How many feel challenged already? Are we the moaning nation or what? And the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Wigan, or whichever part of the church in the kingdom you belong to, and says, do everything without complaining and without arguing. We could say, Jesus, help us, and go home just on that this morning. So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights. This is much as it's going to be a Christmas message this morning, because another translation says, shining like stars. We like our stars at Christmas. So there's the Christmas bit. Shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. How many know that's true? Hold firmly. Everyone say hold firmly. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, this is Paul writing, remember, to the church. Paul is saying, then I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. You know, I don't think there's anyone in this room who would want to work all their life, live a life for God, and feel like their life has been useless. We want it to count for something, don't we? We want our lives to count for something. And Paul was no different. Verse 17, he says, but I will rejoice. You know, if you read the book of Philippians, the book is all about joy. Be joyful. Count it all joy. It's about joy. And here again, he comes up with the theme of the whole book and says, but I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out. What's he doing? He's pouring it out like a liquid offering. Another version says, like a drink. Like a liquid offering to God. In fact, just like your, everyone say your, it's about your, about the church in Wigan. You sat there this morning. He says, like I rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring it out as a drink offering, just like your faithful service is an offering to God, being the gift. Just like your faithful service is being the gift. He says, my life has been like a gift, Paul says. I have been like a drink offering. My life is being a gift, and I rejoice with you because so is yours. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. And so he's speaking very simply here about being the gift. Not just giving a gift, but being the gift. You understand the difference? If not, I'm going to show you. Not just giving a gift. This is a time that we are coming towards, a very special time, very special event in our calendar. A time for exchanging gifts. And a time of celebration. How many like a good celebration? And I think this, giving a gift, everyone say giving. Giving a gift can be a really special moment. How many know that's the truth? You watch people's faces, your kids' faces on Christmas morning. It can be a real special moment. But you know what? Being the gift, well, that's a lifestyle. That is a different level altogether. And I want to share with you three very simple thoughts this morning. And here goes the first. I want to say this. Number one, that events have a place, but environments hold the key. Let me say it again. Events, we love events. Events have their place or have a place, but environments hold the key. I'm speaking here in our context of giving a gift is great. Being the gift holds the key in life. Being the gift, not just giving the gift, but being the gift. So let me tell you something. The thing that we do and create most consistently in our spaces of life, let me say that again. The things that we do and create mostly consistently in our spaces of life are what have the greatest impact to life. That is the truth. Say to someone, that's the truth. And so I just want to tell you something that maybe some of you already know, and I'm reminding you, and if you don't know this, then I'm sharing it with you this morning. Let me tell you this. You are the gift to those in your household. You are the gift. Not just giving a gift. You are the gift to those in your household. You are the gift to the office tomorrow morning. Did you hear me? You are the gift to the office. When you walk into that classroom tomorrow, or whenever you go back in as maybe a recipient of the teaching, or maybe you may be the teacher, you are the gift to that classroom. You are the gift to your employer. Really? Yeah, you are. You are the gift to your employer. You are the gift to your company or your business. You are the gift. You may have a lot of gifted people, but you are the gift to them. In fact, we would go as far as to say that you are the gift to the people in your world. You are the gift. So when I speak about being the gift has always taken us beyond just an event. No matter how special that event is and how much we really enjoy this event, particularly this season, this time of Christmas. That there is something that has taken us beyond just the event, the being of the gift. It's more powerful than the event. You see, someone said a long time ago in relation to events and environments, you know, which is most powerful? Because you can have a powerful event and you can have powerful environments. Someone said this once, that you can light a fire. Everyone get this. You can light a fire in the pouring rain, but sooner than later, the environment will distinguish it or extinguish it. I beg your pardon. It may distinguish it as well. It's up there on the screen. That you can light a fire in the pouring rain. You can make that happen. But how many know the rain, if it rains long enough, it's going to put the fire out. So environments are far more powerful than just the event. Being the gift totally trumps just giving the gift. Everyone say number two. We have the power to change or to recreate environments. And that's really important for you to get hold of this morning. We have the power. God has created us and given us the power to both change and to recreate environments. I think this is great because from the beginning of time, everyone say the beginning. If we were to go right back to Genesis chapter 1 in the Bible this morning, we read right at the start, commencement of the writings of this incredible book and story, in the beginning, God. Aren't you so glad that in the beginning, God? Huh? Not in the beginning, Brexit. You know, I think I'd rather have in there, in the beginning, God. Whatever side of the fence you sit on, or whether you're right in the middle, in the beginning, God. And I love what it goes on to say. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created an environment. It wasn't about an event. We just make everything about events. And there's nothing wrong with events, but how many know God's into environments? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They were without form. There was no shape. There was nothing there in space. And God came along and put shapes in. God came along and created landscape. He came in and he created on top of it. It was like a multi-layered environment. He created vegetation. And then on the back of that, he created man. How many remember the Garden of Eden? Not that you were there, of course. Oh, you were there. Okay, fine. But God created Eden. He created this environment that was thriving. And I kind of asked the question, well, why did he do that? So why did he do that for mankind? What was in his heart for an environment for us? You see, I think that was God's intention for good. How many know that that environment was spoiled by an event? Applegate. It was spoiled by an event, but God created an environment that we could flourish in. So the reasons I thought, why did God do this? One, to be fruitful. Everyone say fruitful. God wanted us to be fruitful. In our lives, God's intention is that we are a fruitful people. And so that was one reason that he created this environment. And the other reason is that we were to be able to cultivate. I love that word because the very derivative of that word is the word culture. God intended that we and Adam and Eve and all the people that were born of them would be cultivators of the Eden, the environment that God had already created. if you like. He wanted us to be able to improve the environment by creating culture. To cultivate, to improve, to make better. And so I want you to understand that this is God's intention from the beginning, that we live in an environment where we can improve and create culture and be fruitful. And so I think this, in kind of bringing it back to what we're speaking about this morning, in being the gift, we have this opportunity. How far have we come from Eden? How far have we strayed from God's initial intention and environment of Eden? Do you know what my belief here, my belief, and you know, you may agree with this or not. That's okay. But I just think God's trying to get us back to Eden. I think he's trying to get people to live in an environment of fruitfulness and where we can create culture that improves. He's trying to get us back to his original intention, is what I'm saying this morning. And so I believe he has given us, in being the gift, he has given us this opportunity. And so imagine this for a moment. Very practically, imagine this. Imagine not just giving a gift into the office this Christmas, but being the gift of generosity. I wonder what that looks like. You know, it's nice to buy a box of Quality Street, put them on the office table. Isn't it amazing how the grumpiest people come alive when you put chocolate before their face? And they become almost like generous for a moment. They think, I could do something like that. And for an event, for a time, they will do that. How many know we're speaking about environments, not just events? And so how about this Christmas, not just giving a gift, but being the gift of generosity that goes through Christmas and beyond? Literally recreating a culture within the workplace. Think about what that looks like. Recreating a culture within your household, in the marketplace, in the places of education, in the health service. Come on. Think about it. Is this possible? Can we believe that we're not just about events? But we can create environments that God has given us that ability. Cultivating a spirit of who we are. I mean, you know, this isn't just about who we are here on 2 hours on a Sunday morning. Isn't this supposed to just set the scene for our life? For the environment that we live in for most of the time? That it's not just about let's get generous for 2 hours on a Sunday morning. Let's not just be excellent for 2 hours on a Sunday morning. Let's just not honor people on a Sunday morning. How about honoring people in the workplace? How about creating an environment, cultivating an environment in the workplace? What does that look like? In honoring people out there, not just in here. That we could have effect on our town and on our region by deciding that we are going to live this stuff, not just when we gather together, but when we're out there and we can literally see and cultivate environments. How about that? Do you know what? That so excites me. Because I love events. They're my default. I love it when we come together. But I love seeing the town transformed. I love seeing the region, the culture, that everyone says, oh, this town is such a thing. I love the church being the church, not just on a Sunday morning, but Monday to Sunday, out there seeing literally and cultivating a new environment for God. I believe that we can be that. You know that video that we saw for the sake of the podcast? We showed a video before for Leadership College. And what excited me, there was one point where it looked like a board that looked like buildings. I don't know if this was the deal, but it looked like lots of buildings. And there was a tsunami of color that came and infiltrated the whole thing. Did you pick up on that? I think that's what God wants us to be. That we are that tsunami of environment that goes from place to place and recreates some stuff. God's original intention out there. Sorry, I'm not mentioning Father Christmas bringing you what you want this year. And so, what about being the gift of excellence? Not just buying something, but being excellent. How about literally being a person of honor who is being the gift of honoring others out there? I love Romans 12, another church, obviously, that Paul wrote to. For those of you that don't know, and there's some great things written here again by the Apostle Paul, and I love this bit. Let me read it to you, and we'll catch up on the screen in just a moment, because I've decided to read a little bit more than I was going to read initially. But listen to what Paul is saying about this whole being the gift thing. He writes in Romans 12, verses 1, 2, and so on in the Message Bible, reads like this. So here's what I want you to do. Here's some instruction for us all this morning. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. There's Bible for being the gift. Is it not? Oh. It's Bible, isn't it, for being the gift? I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read it till I get some response, so you better respond, guys, otherwise we're going to be here a long, long time. So here's what I want you to do. I've heard that before. God helping you. Take your everyday, not just Sunday. Everybody happy? It's Christmas. Your everyday, ordinary life. Some of you think you've got such an ordinary life. How could you ever change anything? I'm glad he put that. Your everyday, ordinary life. You know, there's ordinary to all of our lives. You know that. Mundane, responsibility, don't want to do that. We can change the very culture of the town through our ordinary. Do you know that? The cheesy way of saying it would be, we could do it through our ordinary life through an extraordinary God. It's true. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, which is what we do. And here's the secret, guys. Listen. Here's the secret. Place it before God as an offering. That is the difference. Place it before God as an offering. Be the gift. I will be the gift. Say it to yourself, even if it's only to yourself, in your mind right now. God, I will be the gift. I want to be that offering. In my ordinary day-to-day walking about, going picking up the kids, going doing the business deal, going listening to some boring lectures at uni, whatever it is, God, I am going to be the gift, and I am going to seek to live these values. I'm going to seek to live in excellence. I'm going to be generous so that I can actually make a difference of cultivating a culture in places that it doesn't yet exist in. That's it. That's it. Where was I in Romans 12? Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become, I love this, don't become so well adjusted to your culture, i.e. the culture out there. Oh, well, that's what the culture of my work's like, and I've just got to adapt to it. No, you can be the change in it. You can be the change. Basically, scripture and verse is, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Wow. You mean I could change that office that only ever gossips, that seems as stingy and tight and perverse and all the stuff you read before? When I was reading that, you were saying, amen, the perverse people. But with God in us, we can be the gift. We can see environments change. Do you know, I am totally convinced, either totally deluded or totally convinced, and I think the delusion went a long time ago, that when we came to this town, there wasn't a lot, to be honest. People worked hard for what they had. So they kept hold of it. Because that's what you do, innit? It's what you're taught. Work hard, lad. Keep hold of it. Watch what you're doing. When the offering come round, keep it in your pocket. You need it. The family needs it. We all need it. We're in a working class town. You know, it's changed. It's changed. And I believe that the culture and the environment of this town has been greatly affected by people in this church community who've been big enough to say, not that we will never get money out of Wigan people, but we have chosen to be the gift. That we have chosen to live in an environment of what the Word of God says, of fruitfulness, of believing for more than poverty, and believing that we can be the gift to others so that they can live differently as well. I believe we've had effect on this town over many years. I totally believe that. And it came through people who said, I will be the gift. So don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Don't just settle. What it's saying is, don't just settle for what it is. Oh, well, you know, it's like you know, if you can't beat them, join them. So I'll be all right on a Sunday morning. I'll be generous on a Sunday morning, and I'll have a generous spirit, and I'll be right grumpy old when I go to work on a Monday, because that's what they're like, and I've got to adapt, because I've got to work with them, and I've got to stay friends with them, and I've... How many know we are salt and light? Salt can be a bit sharp sometimes. Light's good. Oh, we are the light. Sounds great, doesn't it? You turn up at the office in the morning and there's like, you've had your ready break and the glow's around you. And you walk in, everybody sees you. Wow, they've turned up. Salt's a bit sharper. We are salt and light. We are the gift. You ever see people who think they're God's gift? I'm God's gift, me. Come on, ladies. I'm God's gift. You're actually God's gift, you know that? You are actually God's gift in the right way. You can stand tall on tomorrow morning and go and do that deal. Take your kids to school, whatever you're doing tomorrow. In school yourself, I don't know. Well, whatever you're doing, you can go and you stand tall when you're the gift. And you understand that you're there to actually change the culture and not just adapt to it, not just accept it. Anybody believe this stuff? And so instead of not just thinking, fix your attention on God. There were two frogs in a bowl. It's not a joke. There were two frogs in a bowl of milk swimming. I don't know how they got in there, but they must have liked the fact that they could swim in milk. Maybe they thought they were an Egyptian queen or something, but they were in this bowl of milk swimming around, totally enjoying this special liquid that they could swim in. And the hours went by and they got a little bit tired and they wanted out. The only trouble is they couldn't get out the bowl. It went on for longer and longer and got more and more tired, and eventually one of the frogs gave up, drowned in the milk. But there was another frog who thought, I'm not just going to let this happen to me. I'm not just going to drown in this. And so he decided that he was going to do something about it. So he just made his movements faster, rigorous movements, consistent, rigorous movements. And that created in this story an opportunity to churn some butter within the milk. And eventually the frog jumped onto the pat of butter that he'd created through movement and exited the bowl because of what he'd done. Don't come to me after and ask me if it was a true story. And here's the deal with that story. Whilst one frog just settled for its lot, the other frog literally changed its environment. Don't settle for the status quo. Be the gift and change it. I'm going to give you one more point and show you a video and shut up. And the third point is this. Who's in the room? Who's in the room? Have a quick look around. Who's in the room? You know, most of you guys don't know a lot of you guys, don't know where you're from, don't you know your name, don't know your story, don't know your history. Some of you are glad about that right now. Who's in the room? Let me tell you who's in the room. Lots of gifts. That's who's in the room. Every one of you a gift. Every one of you carriers of God's presence. Did you just see what I did there? Every one of you carriers of the presence of God. I'm going to ask the guys just to put a video on in a couple of seconds, and let me just give you a bit of context. This video is about a guy who dresses like it was the 1980s, which probably means that it was made then. Great YouTube, isn't it? But I love this fellow telling this story. It's one man's story of someone being the gift. And so watch this vid. Thanks, guys.
And so I'm single. I'm living alone in my new old house there in Washington Park. I've been there about 2 days. There's a knock on the front door. I open the front door, and standing there is a relatively short fellow, about 5'1", 5'2", 105 pounds, pencil-thin mustache, blue uniform, carrying a bag. He says, "Good morning, Mr. Sanborn. My name is Fred. I am your postman. I just stopped by to say welcome to the neighborhood and introduce myself and find out a little bit about you and what you do for a living." Now, I've been receiving mail all of my adult life. I can't ever recall getting a personal introduction to my postal carrier, but I thought it was a nice touch. I said, "Fred, thanks for stopping by." I said, "I am a professional speaker. I do not have a real job." Fred said, "Well, that's important for me to know. If you're a speaker, you probably travel a lot." I said, "Yeah, I'm on the road a couple hundred days a year." He said, "Great. If you'll just give me your calendar so that I know when you're in town, I'll hold your mail for you, I'll bundle it, and I'll only deliver it on the days that you're here to receive it." Now, I never had a choice of a la carte mail service before either. I said, Fred, that's probably not necessary. I've got a box nailed right here by the door on the side of the house. Why don't you just leave the mail in the box? I'll pick it up when I get back into town. Fred said, oh, Mr. Sanborn, let me point out, in this neighborhood, as in most, when your box is full of mail, the burglars know you're out of town and you might be robbed. He said, here's what I'd recommend instead. He said, I'll be glad to put mail in your box as long as the lid closes. That way nobody will know that you're gone. Any mail that doesn't fit in your box, I'll put in between the screen door and the front door. Nobody can see it there. And if that area becomes too full of mail, I'll hold the rest of your mail for you until you come back into town. Now, Fred is more worried about my mail than I am. But I figure he is the postal professional. I say, okay, Fred, let's try that. A couple weeks later, I'm coming back from a trip. Now, as I'm unlocking the front door, I notice my doormat is missing. My front porch is half the size of this riser. I look around on my front porch. I see my doormat's in the corner, but it's covering something. Here's what had happened. UPS had misdelivered a box of mine five doors down, left my box on somebody else's porch. Lucky for me, Fred the postman was on the job. Fred saw my box on the wrong porch, picked up this heavy box, carried it down to my porch, put it in the corner, wrote a personal note of explanation on it, then tried to disguise it with a doormat so nobody would take it. Not only is Fred delivering the mail, now he's picking up slack for UPS. First time I told this story in L.A., a guy comes up at the end of the speech. He said, now be honest, were you talking about the United States Postal Service? Or does Denver have their own? I said, no, unbelievably, this is the USPS. That first Christmas, 1988, I leave a little gift in the box for Fred. I'm grateful for his tremendous service. Next day that mail gets delivered, I have an unusual letter in my mail. See, the letter has a stamp on it, but the stamp's not canceled. I see from the return address, the letter is from Fred Shea, my postal carrier. See, Fred lives in North Glen. I lived in Denver. Fred knows it is a felony to put unposted mail in a box. So even though he carried the letter from his house to my house, he still put a stamp on just to keep it legal. So after I cut the stamp off, I read the letter. The letter says, Dear Mr. Sanborn, thank you for remembering me at Christmas. I'm flattered that you talk about me in your speeches and seminars. I hope I can continue to provide exceptional service. Sincerely, Fred the Postman. Now let's fast forward the clock. 1995, I met my wife, Darla. We got married. 1997, we were expecting our first child, so we moved down to the suburbs, Highlands Ranch. But for almost 10 years, Fred Shea delivered my mail, later her mail as well. And it wasn't until I wrote the book that I ever had a chance to ask Fred the question, why do you do it? See, he does not get paid more. There is no compensation, no incentive for above average performance. He does not come to nice venues like this for meetings. As a matter of fact, for years I was afraid that if the Postal Service found out what he was doing, they'd make him stop. And I asked Fred, at the end of the book, there are six things that motivate Fred. I said, Fred, why do you do what you do? He said, you know, I lay in bed at night and I only worry about one thing. Figure that's pretty good. And there's a lot of things I worry about when I lay in bed at night. Look at that little red dot in the smoke detector on the hotel ceiling. Fred said, the only thing I worry about when I lay in bed at night is, did I waste any of the day I just finished?
Yeah, why not? Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Do you know, I don't know if Fred the Postman is a believer, and I think he gave absolutely incredible customer service. I know something, he was being the gift and cultivating an environment. And literally changing his neighborhood by being the gift. I think for us, you know, just it's not just about great customer service, but it's the cause of Christ. And as I finish, there are lots of Freds in the room. Lots of you. Not all of you are delivering the post. You're doing a lot of different things. So many, many different things in our ordinary everyday life that we have to do. I think the challenge is, do we want to be the gift or do we just want to give a gift? I think sometimes the excuse and the way out, particularly at this time of Christmas, is that we feel good if we give a gift, you know. It kind of cures the conscience and the guilt so that we can do what we want because we've given the gift. What I'm asking for this morning and our understanding is not just about giving a gift, that's great, but about being the gift. And I believe there are lots of Freds in the room, and I just want to say, as always, as I'm stood before you, that if this is your heart and you don't just want to be the bearer of a gift this Christmas, but you want to be the gift, you want to understand that God has taken your ordinary everyday life and created a gift in you that you can literally see the culture change of the environments. You can create and recreate environments where you are on a day-to-day basis. Then I'm going to pray. And if that's your heart and you say, God, I don't just want to be a gift. I don't just want to give a gift, but I want to be the gift. Stand with me because I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for me and I'm going to pray for you if you stand with me. If that's your heart, I want to be the gift. God, help me in my everyday, ordinary life.